If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
It's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio on how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
This is tedious on therightstuff.biz.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Daily Show 1056.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
None of our race are still being born with the right stuff.
It is June 30th, the final day of Pride Month. Everybody is waiting to see if the national tranny comes out of her hovel and sees her 5 o'clock shadow. If so, that means 6 more weeks of Pride Month. We'll find out soon enough, but we're all hoping for the
best.
Let's
be honest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. We live in America where we are living in a permanent, indefinite Pride Month until basically this government is destroyed forever.
I have to give props to KO. I stole that joke from her shamelessly. Well, some shame.
Oh, very good.
Props to her. Very nice.
Well, yeah, you must have had some shame, otherwise you wouldn't have given her credit.
June is not Pride Month. June has been Jade Falcon Month. Props to all five of our listeners who got that.
Jade Helm Month? What?
Jade Falcon Month.
Is that like Jade Helm?
No, don't worry about it.
Some shit nobody cares about because McNabb's
yeah. Yeah, that sounds like something that I don't care about.
But the people who do care about it, like, really care about it. Like,
BattleTech, yes! Dungeons and Dragons.
Hell yes, mentioned my faction.
40K, something or other.
Oh.
Something like that.
Anyway, so...
What happens if the Emperor sees his 5 o'clock shadow? Like 10,000 more years of...
10,000 more years of grimdark only war?
Yeah. It works.
Well, I think that's the whole point, because it's like 30K to 40K. That's literally 10,000 more years of...
You know what else?
The problem is the appeal of the grimdark universe has been kind of had the wind taken out of its sails by how grimdark our universe is. You know?
Our universe is like infinitely darker.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you know.
I mean, at least in that universe, they fight against the Slaanesh Daimonets. They don't, like, put them in power and give them access to children deliberately. Mm. I mean,
yeah.
You know.
You know what else today is a good milestone for? Today, as of midnight last night, I think, the Indiana Jones movie is out. So the Disney A-logs can stop predicting doom and reading bad reviews and trying to, like, now they have to actually look at, like, the receipts. They have to actually report on how much money the film makes rather than speculate on the ever increasing like bomb status of it. So that's kind of a rough time for them. Their content really thrives when there's no info and they're just like making shit up. That's when they can really spin a lot of good yarns when it's like they have no data to work with.
What you can do is you can
Projected box office is down. Like, okay, the project, like, but now the actual box office has to come out. Last time they they were all wrong. It was really funny.
You know these guys all want to be screenwriters, right? Like, they all see themselves as, like, writers.
I think that one guy, Valiant Renegade, wants to be, like, a stockbroker. Because he's always, like, listening to the shareholder calls with, like, Iger, and he's always, like, watching the financials and stuff. I can imagine
is that they project their own preferences onto the public at large and then predict doom based on the fact the movie doesn't meet their preferences.
Right.
The problem is that would be something you could probably do if legitimately most of the public was like you, but they're not. And I don't mean that in like some mindset way. I'm talking about like mindset. Racially and things like that. Like if the public was still 80% white, you would probably be correct.
Hmm.
But it's not. And Beaners will watch any movie.
That is true. That is like when you look at these movies that they're calling bombs, they're making so much money. Well, I don't know if they're making, they're taking in at the box office a lot of money. The problem is the high budgets, but like
I would legitimately like to see some kind of study in white movie attendance, racial study in movie attendance, or purchasing of movies or something like that. I bet you most white people, even when they consume product, are consuming it from living room.
Are we asking the question of whether Hispanics are propping up people going to the movies? If that's where the I've looked into it because it's kind of self-obvious why that's not going to really account for a lot, because they're still a minority. They're still a small minority in the United States. I've looked into it. They do go to the movies more often.
Yeah,
they do, but it's not that much more often, and there's not enough of them.
Interesting.
Really? Well, they're like 30% of the population.
I mean, I could go pull up the data.
All right, that's fine. Oh, I was asking the question. I'm willing to go with the data.
I mean, it is true that they do go to the movies more often than white people. That is true.
But in the end.
And in the end.
Well, I guess it's like, I don't know. I mean, that the thing is, they are more willing to consume than whites, Hispanics generally.
Speaking of that band. Did you know that band is basically just the result of like a Japanese guy being a workaholic
Beatles?
About trying to get music?
The Beatles?
No, Linkin Park.
He was singing the Beatles.
I was singing the Beatles.
Oh, I thought you were singing In the End.
I don't know. I don't know Linkin Park, so I can't.
The Mexicans will save the Hollywood grift.
See, the Beatles are a result of a Jew. And MK Ultra, the Linkin Park was a result of the Japanese, I guess. I don't know anything about Linkin
Park. And MK Ultra.
All popular music bands are a result of MK Ultra. That's so as our movies.
Even Pantera.
I got your data.
Particularly them. I'm joking. Anyway, we got to talk about this affirmative action.
We got to do that. But we have like, all this padding. Attendance. We have all this padded, like,
will you do that
all
with James
on
your next show? Do that with James on your next show.
I don't
want
to do a whole show on fucking Beaners
going
to the theater.
Well, just do like 5 minutes on it. You don't have to do
I want to talk about Beaners going to the goddamn movie theater.
I wasn't done with Indiana Jones, though.
Okay, get back to Indiana Jones.
Just let the show happen, Mike.
Go. I have meta commentary here, but that's fine.
Oh, on what?
On the fact that you are watching these people, so you think what they're talking about matters. Like you watch the Disney A-Logs.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So we have something to talk about. And now
I have something to talk about when I come on the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
But we could just sit here in silence and not. I mean, nothing that anybody says matters. that's kind of the truth. Like nothing anybody says anywhere like matters because nobody has a real like audience anymore, and there's no coherence or cohesiveness to the population. Nothing anybody thinks matters.
I mean, what's funny is like. Almost all independent content creators are now like basically at the same level that we are.
Right.
Like
you might as well be
that
censored.
Far off from like
the difference.
I mean, when you look at these YouTube view counts, they're not impressive.
No.
But yeah.
And the difference is that like they're still going to bend over backwards to not say certain things and not name Jewishness. Right. Like, oh God, are we going to talk about Pedro some more today? Like, talk about holy shit.
We can.
Yeah.
But go ahead. Anyway, talk about
the Well, the RLM people did a. You know, Red Letter Media did a review of Temple of Doom the other day, and
I watched it.
So I didn't watch the whole thing because I was kind of just bored because they don't hate it, so I don't really care.
Yeah, they liked it, so it's like whatever.
But did they do anything cringe regarding like the food scene from Temple? Because I just watched Temple of Doom the other day, and I'm just like, here's a scene that nobody would ever make. I'm surprised there's not like I'm surprised Spielberg hasn't edited out the entire sequence where they're eating like monkey brains and bugs and. You know, they cut the snakes open and the baby snakes come out and they're just like eating because you're supposed to be. You don't remember that? Your mouth is agape. Like, you don't remember that.
You do? No, I do remember it.
Yeah.
Alex, you don't remember that?
I know. I don't remember that. I guess I need to rewatch that. I mean, I haven't seen it in probably 20 years.
This was the scene
years.
In that movie that made the biggest impact on me when I was a kid.
Yeah, it was
and
gross, but it's
it.
Fucking funny as hell. But
yes.
It's like,
it's also like racist.
I mean, I'm thinking about like, is it really racist? It's just. It's making the point that these people are strangers in a strange land. and they don't belong here. It's fine.
Like, yeah, it is. Well, first of all, by the standards of today, it is racist.
Right.
And I would say it is racialist, because what makes them strangers? Well, right. it's culture, but it's also race, because all the people that are different than them are of a different race in a different country. And so they go and they're sort of horrified by what they see as barbaric eating. And the other thing is, I think a lot of that shit, one of the big criticisms I remember, it was even criticized back in the day, but it became more criticized as time went on, that they're like, Indians don't actually eat like that.
Yeah, but I don't care.
Most of them are like vegetarians. But it's like I don't really give a shit.
Yeah,
about
like my opinion is that you do, and I don't care. Like, because the movie
also snakes lay eggs.
The movie, yeah, I know. And the movie like wasn't made to like entertain Indians.
The movie
was made to entertain me, and I liked it. And that's right. All that matters. Like, that's what sucks about it.
What they should have done is have them eating a lot of curry that smells like buttholes, and like then like everyone was themselves. Just like disgusted by the whole thing.
Yeah, that palace.
Oh, hey, Guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
That palace should have just been covered in like loose fecal matter.
No, Jesus.
Instead of the tunnel full of bugs, it's like, you have to stick your head in there, Willy. Oh, it's filled with poop. We're going to die. And then, like, she has to reach through the shit to, like, grab the lever and then the spike.
Well, the whole palace is just mortared together with dried poop.
Well, it's just an outhouse. It's a porta potty, not a palace. But no, that's too civilized. It would just have to be just a crack in the sidewalk.
Like,
yeah,
it's just like,
lava
and
shit.
Species. He's like on the stone thing, like hanging above. Or
is this a little Asian kid?
She's like, yes.
Yeah, short round.
Do you not remember this movie at all?
The thing is, I never liked those movies.
You're sitting around wasting too many like CPU cycles on like justifying the prequel trilogy. That's why you don't have room for
short round. Has long been criticized as being a very typical Asian sidekick. Like, oh, Dr. John.
Why don't people like? Why can't people just shut? It's amazing. Like, we can't just shut that kind of critique down. Like, who cares?
Well, it was shut down when the movie came out.
Yeah. He's a lovable character.
Out, not only was it... And it didn't even have to be shut... When the movie came out, everybody loved...
Nobody
Short
cared.
Round. They thought it was the greatest character. It was hilarious. Like, libtards were loving it. They were like, oh, this is hilarious.
Dr. Jones
this
to you, Asian doll. Kid,
like, this Asian sidekick with all these racial stereotype behaviors is great. We love it.
We got it. We love it.
We got, like, chinks, gooks, Indians... All these stereotypes, we got them. We love them.
Is actually biological. So these guys are supposed to be eating like a python or a boa.
No, they're eating
like
the
that.
Babies out of it. They cut it open and the baby pythons come out and they just eat them.
Yeah, there's some problems here. Those aren't baby pythons.
Well, whatever.
It's a completely different species.
What they are is a racist stereotype.
However, they are live bearings, so they got that part right.
Okay. Oh, I thought that snakes generally laid eggs.
Not all snakes. Pretty sure boas are live bearing. I think I'll have to double check. I know pit vipers generally are. Timber rattlesnakes.
You don't want to eat a pit viper, though.
You don't wear
them
either.
You could eat everything except the head.
Well, look.
Just don't eat the head.
Just don't eat the giant bugs. Don't eat the monkey brains.
Let's just not eat any of this stuff.
People do eat venomous snakes. It is a thing.
See, this is what happens. Like, now you're like doing, you're ruining the movie from the other direction. Like, you're telling me facts I don't care about. Right? Like, I don't care if people eat snakes. What I really don't care about is like how racist it is to portray a bunch of uncivilized Indians that have been like justifiably colonized by the British, like doing disgusting shit. Right? Like, maybe they should have had a scene where like somebody, like a widow, is thrown onto her husband's funeral pyre and burned alive. Maybe they should have done that in Temple of Doom.
They're eating monkey brains.
You could have
they've got giant beetles.
Yeah, they're eating the giant beetles. Come on. And then
the thing is, this scene traumatized me when I was like 8 years old. Alex is getting traumatized by it.
I cringe when I watch. I was like,
it's been like 40 years since I was traumatized by this movie.
Well, the bug meat, the bug meat looks like too real, like how I'd imagine it is. Because if you've ever stepped on like a big fucking beetle or something,
it's like all like yellowy brown. And
he's like,
this scene is racist. This scene is actually very racist.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yes,
The movie is racist. I want it to be. Like, look
it's
at these.
Like showing these Indians just being like these disgusting,
savages.
And then the enemies of the movie
saving,
are like the
he's like saving a different group of like disgusting savages. It's just that they're all like poor and starving.
Well, here's the thing: the enemies in the movie are
eyeballs.
The thuggy.
Oh, nice.
The thuggy cult, which was legitimately a death cult. This here's the thing: for some actual history, this was a death cult in India that was legitimately worshipped some death god.
Kaima.
And they would like waylay travelers on roads and would in fact kill them and eat them. And the British colonial occupiers basically ended them.
Yeah.
And they did the Indians a favor by doing that. Now, I don't say the British were justifiably occupying India, not because it hurt Indians, but because it made the British Empire really wealthy, and the British Empire is a force for homosexuality and Judaism.
You're right. You're always one level deeper than I am, the thoughts there. It's
sorry.
True. It's very true. No, it's true.
No, like the Indians absolutely benefited from British occupation. There's no question. But the question is, like, did that benefit the entire world or not? Mm. And I would say no. But that's the whole other argument.
Yeah,
this is like literally racist because Indians wouldn't actually eat this food.
Well, most Indians are vegetarians. And that was like a criticism that many people have levied at this scene over
the
years.
Is that by choice or they just don't? That's right. They like worship cows or something.
There's all kinds of weird stuff, but.
It's like you're supposed to eat them. You wouldn't have to be a vegetarian if you would stop pretending that's a god over there.
I think there is a Hindu thing involved with being a vegetarian and not eating meat because of reincarnation beliefs or something like that. I don't know.
I guess so. That's still retarded.
DK could fill you in on that. I don't know.
Just fucking dumb. And I don't need to pretend I respect that, like, different perspective from another culture. It's like, no, that's just dumb.
Here's the thing. It's not that I respect it or not. I don't care.
Right.
Like, what Indians do in that hot jungle country, that little sort of turd hanging off the bottom of Asia, you know... Well, I don't care.
What they do is they send their prodigal sons over here on an H-1B visa and soak up jobs
that
and shit in our
about.
Streets. That's what I care about.
But that's also something that we should criticize.
This movie,
Jews
though.
and greedy white people and like
mostly
our own
Jews.
Our own group.
This scene though, it's a Jewish blood libel.
You could argue that because it is Steven Spielberg
brains.
Who is doing this. Yes, and he somehow
monkey libel. It's a monkey libel.
despite him actually doing this fairly frequently, and he does it more frequently the older his movies are, he nonetheless is still like the most celebrated Jewish propagandist, which is what he is. He is a propagandist for Jewish interests. Here's the thing, this is nowhere near the blood libel of Schindler's List, which is one of the worst blood libels ever created.
Well, it brings
film.
You to the coup de grace clip from the ROM review where they mention Raiders of the Lost Ark, and Rich Evans is like, I never realized it was a Jewish revenge film against the Nazis. I was embarrassingly old when I realized that. Which is a pretty funny clip.
That's funny that he acknowledged it at all.
Yeah, so it's a Jewish revenge film against the Nazis.
Well, Indiana Jones is effectively a Jewish avatar.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's an avatar for, like, of, like, collective Jewish
will. He's a goy. They send him off to do the dirty work of collecting these artifacts.
Right.
For them and stopping the Nazis.
But really, they sent him off to do the dirty work of, like, killing Nazis.
Yes. Exactly. Right.
My favorite scene in all Indiana Jones movies is when Indiana Jones meets Hitler. And the funniest thing
that
about
is
that
awesome.
Scene.
Yeah, that's a good scene.
Is that Hitler is entirely well behaved.
Right.
Hitler is not a monster. Hitler, basically, Indiana Jones thinks he's going to get in all kinds of trouble because he accidentally bumps into the Fuhrer. And
he autographs his book.
Instead, he just autographs the book.
With less contempt than I would do it.
God knows how much more valuable than it was before.
Right. Doing him a favor. Now you have an artifact, Indy, you can hang on to.
Your book
it belongs
clues,
in a museum.
His little book with all the clues his father collected as to the location of the Holy Grail just became an actual holy book when Hitler signed it.
Right.
Right. An actual holy artifact at that point. Other than that, before that was just trash.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of pieces of paper. But yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and of course, like, the hot Nazi broad was the hottest of all chicks. None of the girls in Indiana Jones movies were attractive until her.
You know, like Willie? I always liked Willie.
Her annoyingness overrode any attractiveness.
All,
they commented a lot on that. That was actually, since I did watch much of that Red Letter Media review, although I did fall asleep during it, I fell asleep. They were talking about Willie and how irritating she was and how this was a sexist. She was basically, but they were trying to pull Steven Spielberg's fat out of the fire on this. They were saying like, it was like intentional and ironic that she fulfilled every stereotype of an annoying woman. And that like Steven Spielberg was kind of like, almost like poking fun. I'm like, shut up, stop. No, he was just doing all the sexist stereotypes. Cause it was like 1984 or whatever the fucking year that movie came out. And it just didn't matter.
I struggle with even calling them sexist stereotypes. She was just acting like a woman.
Not all women are that irritating.
But
bro.
I mean,
like,
but
it's also
a movie, and she's supposed to be like a comic relief somewhat. Like, they're supposed to be like Indy's funny yes. sidekick. So, like, I don't know.
The problem is, it's way more annoying than it is funny.
I guess it's just because of nostalgia power when I saw it when I was so young that, like, none of it bothers me.
Try watching it again.
I just watched it's it the so other day. Fucking I just watched it the other day. I loved every second of it. Okay. Like, the entire movie is right. perfect. Like, I love the whole thing. But it's probably because I saw it when I was 8 for the first time and like loved it ever since, you know? That's a pretty powerful thing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did the Nazis show up in this one? I don't think they did.
No, they purposely didn't want to do another Nazi movie.
They did another one when they got to the third one. Right. There was more Nazis.
Well, that was when they just did the cover. Whoops. They just did the bit where, like, all right, let's make a cover version of Raiders as a sequel. So they just did, like, another.
I actually like that one better than Raiders.
What, Crusade? Yeah, it's good.
It's better. I think it's more enjoyable. It's better paced and, mm-hmm. like, the girl.
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
Girl isn't weirdly, doesn't have that weird eye gap.
Can we go back to the Disney A-Logs for a second?
Sure.
I just pulled up the Drinkers Chasers video real fast. And what I immediately realized is their cinematic universe is actually questions about whether Kathleen Kennedy is going to be fired. Yeah. That's where like the drama is for these people.
Who is Kathleen Kennedy?
She's the head of Lucasfilm.
Oh, okay.
She was
That's like their total cinematic universe is just looking at that as content. Like, oh wow, I bet she's in trouble with the boss now.
If this movie loses this much money, she's definitely getting fired. Like, that has been them for like 6 months.
Honor.
Boom, boom, boom. But it's funny because it's kind of a disaster. It's not like it's going to get better.
Anyway. this is an example. I know we've done this before, but it's really funny to me. Just like look at these videos of these guys, and there's way too many of them.
Drives me nuts.
In a single.
Oh,
chat.
I'm going to read my script to you, and every sentence ends in this cadence. Now I'm going to read another sentence from my script, and it's going to end in this cadence. Like,
is that like
that's critical? No, it's Critical Drinker.
Oh
my gosh, this is when they're chatting amongst themselves. Is there a timestamp I'm going to go to?
I don't know if this is going to be interesting or not. It's always funny to me to look at the sheer number of people they cram into.
Putting together a team. The guy with the Top Gun shirt on. This guy with the Datsun fucking logo on. Let's see, what are we talking about?
All right, parasite just sucking the lifeblood out of like whatever franchises they inherited. And when they have died, when they've used up all of that, they're a dead company. They've got nothing.
Probably talking about Disney.
Nothing left to produce. That's what they are now.
Oh, it's Lucasfilm.
Merchandising house at this point. That's literally all they do. Just license stuff out to other companies. Do you want to make a game for us based on this IP? We'll have some money off that. Thanks very much. You know,
I mean, what can they do now? It's like, oh, we've still got The Mandalorian, I guess. Like,
people are checking out from that as well.
Does it really
something
matter?
About this type of content fills me with like utter like contempt for those people. Like I look at those guys.
I want to play devil's advocate for a second.
I'm just filled with like they're probably a lot of that stuff they're saying is correct, but I'm also just like
so. This
film content, and movies are gone. Just accept it. It's done.
This
it's
content
dead.
They're doing though is that any worse than like commenting on American politics in general?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Then you can go and do that stuff.
I just came up with a theory right now.
No, they're objectively worse than we are. That's just factual. So yes, what's that? Jesse.
They're not necessarily destroying these franchises so much as they're destroying the idea of bringing new blood into them I think they're just going to move on to, we're going to make deepfake AI versions of these, like new, like we'll add to the canon of these franchises with deepfake AI of the original actors, so we don't have to pay anybody.
Well, that's what they want.
That's what they're going to do. It's just like, we're going to have like deepfake Harrison Ford in his 40s being Indiana Jones forever, and we just have to get through this rough patch where we convince you that that's, because if they just started doing that, people would be upset. But they've already trained these people. Like, when I watched Mandalorian with the kids and it got to season two, and the climax of season two was deepfake Luke Skywalker showed up, I wanted to puke. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Like, this is the best you can do. Or at least recast him with an unknown actor that's not going to be obnoxious. But like, if you're going to go back to that, well, but I think, and these Disney A-logs, they are now like pining for that to happen again. Like, one of their narratives is Kathleen Kennedy is anti-Skywalker. She wants everything to be about, we want deepfake Skywalker, and Kathleen Kennedy won't let us have, we want deepfake Leia, deepfake Han, and deepfake Skywalker. And I think that's what they're eventually going to get. And then you want to talk about just making money with these franchises, they'll be able to do that. And that's going to... And that solves the problem of there being no young talent anywhere in like Hollywood. Like, there's like, everything just sucks. All the actors suck, and there's like, there's no movie stars anymore. They'll just fucking, like, Tom Cruise can stop taking the HGH, and they'll just deepfake Tom Cruise forever. You know,
well, Tom Cruise is already like a deepfake of Tom.
Yeah,
they're gonna,
well,
people will eat that shit up. I regret to inform you, there's people in our circles that will listen to Warhammer 40K audiobooks narrated by an AI version of David Attenborough. And I'm like, I will never fucking do that. If I'm going to listen to an audiobook, it better be an actual human behind it.
Is that what they're doing now?
Yeah.
I haven't tried listening
That's
to Warhammer.
That's a bridge too far. That's too far.
40K audiobook in a while. I can't really take him anymore.
I'll listen to Border Prince any day of the week before I listen. Like, actually, he's fairly good. But I'm not going to listen to David Attenborough AI voice. If David Attenborough wants to do it himself, sure.
Wasn't he dead?
He might be dead, which makes it even creepier.
Well, that's what they have to do. They don't have anybody anymore. Now, I Kathleen Kennedy is married to Frank Marshall, who is Jewish.
He's still
and is partners in Amblin Entertainment with Steven Spielberg. So all this shit comes together. Like, all this shit comes together. It's all, like, effectively, Frank Marshall is 96.
Wow, she's like, and she's 70 or something like that. That's
I don't
funny.
Know if he's, I mean, he might be older. I don't think he's 96. I don't think he's that old.
Yeah, well, but I anyway, thought Kathleen Kennedy was like, she worked for Spielberg, right?
She worked for
Her husband is, for a long time. Is partners in, at least founded Amblin Entertainment with Spielberg. I don't know if they're still in that business together or whatever, but her husband is a Jew.
With George Lucas or somebody.
Since like 1980, she's been on there since like almost the beginning of Lucasfilm.
Yeah,
and then that's she became is, yeah. At one point he was handpicked her to be the president, which was probably just an affirmative action. Like, I want to put this girl in charge because that's what we're doing here.
Well, but also her husband is a Jew that was partners with Steven Spielberg. Like, let's not forget any of this, right? Like, sure. That's kind of the point. I mean, we don't need to invent new theories as to why she was promoted to this when we have the most obvious one right here.
Sure.
So yeah.
It's just fascinating to me that the real drama here is talking about the executives and the industries and Disney.
Right, I mean, that's like, but that's like that's
not even the movies anymore.
It's almost like they're now. It's like they've elevated it to that, and
it's like Sven is saying, like, this one guy is like treating it like as an investment prediction thing. Like, oh, you want to pull your money out of Disney right now?
We're looking at the financials, folks. It's not good. On Bob Iger's shareholder call the other day, acknowledging that Elemental is a total flop and have loss of 100. Like, this is what he opens up with.
Because, but why are they doing that?
Because if you go woke, you go broke, Michael Enoch.
Right. That's exactly right. That was the point I was going to make.
We want profitable movies without race swaps.
Go woke, go. They have married themselves to the go woke, go broke narrative, and they are trying to prove it in their content, and they're actually not doing that well because it's not actually true. There are some mixed results on this, and that they managed to make a financial hit on Bud Light, but other than that, generally speaking, go woke, go broke has not been proven to be a true statement at all.
In roughly 6 weeks, the Walt Disney Company will host their next quarterly earnings call, the third fiscal quarter for the Walt Disney Company, sometime in early August. And of course,
I just want to say something real quick. I cannot believe, Alex, that you at one point considered that this content was in any way equal to our content. It's not. This
I didn't actually say that. You made the connection, not me.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. This is objectively worse.
I notice he's got a SIG hat
on. He always has the SIG hat on.
Why? Because he's a tough guy. He's a man.
Well, no, it's because he's male pattern baldness and doesn't want to be on camera.
No, but he likes people to understand that he likes, guns.
Shave your
head. He likes Jewish-owned firearm companies. But yeah, the title of this video
is SIGSAUER Jewish-owned?
Some Jews bought it, as I recall. But the title of the video is Disney Downgraded as Wall Street Worries.
Be covering that earnings call live right here on Valiant Renegade. But what I've been saying for the last few months is that at some point, Renegade, Wall Street is going to start waking up from their slumber. You see, they've been giving Disney a pass for a very long time, and for good reason. Even bumps in the road were often cast off simply because the Walt Disney Company had such a strong last couple of decades.
Yeah, so anyway, it's just...
Two more weeks.
He's basically like Meraki's Telegram channel, but for
well, this is a guy who doesn't understand that the economy is controlled.
Right.
The economy is a controlled entity. It is controlled by people at the top with lots of money that can direct investment on some. And frankly, consumers. There is no evidence to the idea, in my view, that consumers can direct the economy through buying and selling choices in anything other than sort of a marginal and peripheral way. I generally do not think that is actually the idea that the consumers are the ones that drive the economy or direct it is a libertarian idea, which zero, in my opinion, absolutely zero empirical evidence.
The other thing about this kind of content is there's an undercurrent of like real bitterness about these wonderful franchises that are just destroyed by these evil corporations.
All these people are acting in bad faith.
Hey everybody, Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life, and I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
What these people really hate is the fact that white America is being destroyed and taken from them.
Yes.
And this is their weak protest to that. That is why I look down on them. I wish you would stop having bad faith and simply come to grips with the fact that what you are upset about is that essentially Jewish capitalists are destroying your country and destroying what has effectively become your folklore.
I just thought of another.
Brown people and making it shitty.
I thought of another angle with these people. They don't even care about that white America being destroyed. I don't even think they want like good content without race swaps. I think it on some level what they actually want, they want to be allowed to make fun of and complain about these franchises and these pieces of content without being called racist.
Well, that's what they really want. That's just not part of the deal.
That's because they will spend a lot of time scoffing at the idea that they're bigots. Just wowing that someone called them racist or sexist or whatever, or they called them right wing.
I'm just saying that the content starring black people. It's just objectively not as good.
Right. That's what they'll spend a lot of time doing that kind of stuff.
I'm not. Maybe she wasn't racist. I don't think she was the best
actress for the job. They should have. Who else did they?
There's another actress that theoretically would have been better. I don't know who that is.
Who is this?
Probably somebody white.
Who am I looking at here?
I think the first few seconds will be enough.
Hello, everybody. Today I'm going to be reviewing Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And this was directed by James Mangold. And y'all know how excited I was to see this one. I was just counting down the days.
Just doing a shot. Wait, did they...
So is she going to get as drunk as that Evalian girl was?
Why did they jump cut the shot? Is that a terms violation?
It might be a YouTube thing.
This is Indiana Jones. And this is the fifth installment in the franchise of this legendary series.
Who is this broad?
She should be doing a podcast, not a video. Jesus Christ, what a mess.
Why isn't she doing yoga pants influencer shit?
Because she's not very good looking.
She's not very good looking.
Your view count, which hers is not even that great.
The view count?
Yeah. Well, dude, no one has.
He's got 53,000 subscribers, about 2K,
13,000 views. Okay, 13,000 views. And this is how old? Seven hours old. Okay.
It might go up, but it probably won't go up that much. Very few independent creators break 100K anymore. It's very rare. Red Letter Media does, but Red Letter Media rarely breaks a million anymore.
They don't do the numbers they used to. That's for sure.
I'm going to do my own A-log content here. I think there's a lot of tropes here. Like, we got the bookshelf in the shot. I see there's Watchmen up there, so she's a comic book enthusiast.
She does have cleavage, but it's not very impressive.
Yeah. It's not. She's forcing the cleavage thing. Hmm. And she's got the lapel mic just kind of hanging there. It's very distracting.
Yeah.
What is this book here?
Why is she sitting on the floor?
What is...
Nobody...
What is this book?
There's a guitar in the background.
Yeah, she's artistic. She's crazy.
Hold on a second.
What is the WC book back there? What is that? Is that like writing...
She's got to be either on her knees on the floor or sitting on the floor.
No, she's sitting on a chair at the desk.
Looks like she's on the floor.
Looks like she's sitting in a beanbag chair or something. I don't know.
Who cares?
So what were we actually going to talk about today? This has gone too far. We were going to talk about affirmative action. We were going to talk about race. We were talking about race swapping your college graduate class. Race swapping your elite personnel in the country.
this decision is quite interesting. There's some stuff, stuff has come out in it. Like, first of all, the decision right away, Jews are big mad about it. Like the media, the New York Times, the elite Jewish publications.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and it says, with Supreme Court decision, college admissions could become more subjective.
Yes, that was a headline in the New York Times this morning. They also had stuff. The Washington Post had a headline today that said, like, it's already thrown admissions into chaos because I guess right now is when a lot of college applications are being processed. I don't know. And they had, and I'm going to see if I can find it while we do this. Stryker showed me a screenshot of some text from the decision where they had shown some of the discussions that were going on here we go. So here's something from messages among UNC. This is something that came out in the case. Messages among UNC admissions officers included statements such as these: perfect 2400 SAT, all five on AP, one B in 11th grade. And then the interlocutor of this person says, Brown, ? And I'll be honest with you, I thought at first that the question was, is this a person a fit for Brown University? But it's not. It was a question about their skin color. It wasn't, are they applying to Brown? It was like, so then the answer.
Well, wait a minute. Why did you need to ask that question?
Well, that's exactly the point. So let me continue because there's more here. Then it continues. Heck no, Asian. Is the response.
I kind of told you that. It's either white or Asian. Duh.
And then the response is, of course, still impressive. And then another one says, if
still
it's
impressive.
Well, let me go forward. Right. Well, that's the funny thing. Still impressive. It's like, but blacks are never impressive, right? And so then another one says, if it's brown, but this is how they talk about it. That's what's so interesting. They are totally cynically just basing all their decisions on
race. This is hurting my head.
Yeah.
Still impressive.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because we're going to relegate them to a second tier school.
Oh.
But also the myth that Asians aren't beneficiaries of affirmative action is false. They are. Marginally, but they are. Affirmative action only hurts white people. So here we go. If it's brown and above a 1300 SAT, put them in for the merit/Excel scholarship. Another test message says, I just opened a brown girl who is an 810 SAT. Which is like, dude, I mean, come on.
So like a third of the
So basically like a functionally retarded person.
Yeah.
Like an eighth grader could score 810 on the SAT.
Big like order of magnitude between these students' GPAs.
Oh, dude, and blacks like rarely break 1,000 on the SAT. Rarely, if they even bother to take it, they're just not going to use SAT anymore. I think they're going to ban the SAT at some point. And then here's something else this person says. These are all separate quotes. Depending, they're not all from the same conversation. That first set was a conversation, but after that, these are just random comments that have been quoted throughout this decision. This one says, I'm going through all this trouble because this is a biracial black white male. Another one says, stellar academics for a Native American/African American kid.
Well, that's the poverty of low expectations.
Well, here's the thing. The actual fact of low expectations amongst college admission staff is just, there's no question. They objectively see, and even the New York Times article, which I read this morning about the college admissions becoming more subjective and whatever, they basically assume the idea that blacks simply cannot achieve good scores. Now, what is never discussed here, and is something that everybody understands, which is why it's never discussed, is that this is a fact of nature. And it's not because their cope for this and their consistent cope for this, despite the fact that they are themselves, as people running institutions, directly giving and granting on an objective, categorical basis, privileges to black people. They are categorically and objectively privileged by the entire system, mm-hmm. and the entire process. And their cope for why they are doing it is because, in fact, somehow the system is privileging white students or Asian students. The fact that Asian students are doing so well kind of throws out of whack the entire idea that there's a racial preference for whites. And it kind of shows that actually, if Asian students who are culturally different than white people, linguistically and culturally more foreign to white people historically than blacks who have lived in this country since the beginning and speak English as their native language that they grew up speaking, well, I mean, something resembling it, right?
Right.
Who basically have not, you know, that Asians come over and they immediately do well shows that actually language and culture are not at particular barriers
to
academic achievement.
Because one of the arguments is like these metrics, they tend to privilege you if you were from the country that created the metrics, but it's like, go explain Asians.
Right. That the Asians actually throw that all out of whack because blacks are from America.
Oh, you don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using like e-checks. Then there's some extra fees because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use e-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription.
Yeah, they do far worse than Asians. So
now, obviously, if you go to a school where lessons are conducted in a language you don't fucking speak, yeah, you. But that's just.
But apparently, Asians can even overcome that barrier. So,
but they speak English though. Like, they just learn English.
Asians with bad English do better than fucking blacks. Right.
Well, here's my thing. I don't think actually Asians necessarily speak bad English. They just pronounce it stupidly. They just have dumb pronunciation dumb pronunciation, but they're not actually speaking it badly. Their pronunciation is just different, and they sound dumb.
One of my favorite things was when I was directing traffic around Virginia Tech, and I noticed the Asian students didn't know what stop signs meant. Just didn't understand.
Well, I thought that, I think maybe they just can't see them, because I thought that, like... I mean, what does a stoplight look like in Asia? Don't they use that same shape the signs are, you know, they're differentiated by shape, not like the words on them.
But so anyway, these Asians that can't read stop signs, they're doing better than niggers on these tests.
Have they tried squinting?
Well, here's the funny thing. Squinting is often a way to make something appear more sharp because you're filtering out ambient light so you can focus more on one thing. Mm-hmm. Did you know that the first kind of eyeglasses that they used before they had developed lenses were simply coverings with holes in them?
Oh, like those like 80s that's sunglasses? Actually
way back in the day, even
Kanye used to
like
wear?
Back in the days of the founders or before, like even in medieval times, they would have eye coverings with little holes in them for people with bad eyesight because it helps you to focus when you filter out a lot of light if you have bad eyesight. So they actually had eyeglasses before they had lenses in eyeglasses. Or they weren't glasses, they were like covering. Anyway, that's just a trivial factoid for you. But you know who figured out was white people. Yeah, something like that, right, yeah.
He's focusing
like,
on,
I'm not joking.
He's focusing like on Jews. Thing,
once again, cultural appropriation. Once again, black stealing from white ingenuity.
Well, black stealing from white anything. White bicycles.
Right.
White turnstiles
so,
for public transportation.
Look, there's a lot of blacks in rap music. I mean, come on. Blacks control rap music.
Oh, boy.
I mean, come on. No, they don't. But anyway.
So somebody sent me a clip. I think it was Boris sent me a clip. That comedian that was interviewing her, like when he was 15, he used to like go to the gym with David Duke. This is his big story. Like he's from down there.
What comedian who's interviewing whom?
The guy that was interviewing Roseanne in that podcast.
Theo Vaughn.
Theo Vaughn, yeah. He like he's from down there and he used to go to the gym where like and like David Duke taught him how to lift. And he's, of course, telling Joe Rogan this, and he's like, wow. So is he like a nice guy?
Why doesn't David Duke, Joe Rogan have David Duke on his show?
Yeah, Joe, imagine the retarded shit you could say to David Duke. Imagine the monotonous, loss for words you could have. Imagine the mouth agape, blank expression you could have in front of David Duke, Joe Rogan. It'd be really
right,
good, really good podcasting.
Stuff, you could... Yeah, sorry. You could easily just be like, "Whoa, really? Seriously?"
That's a great idea for a show. Just have a guy. His whole shtick is he's really fucking dumb, and he just lets people say whatever they want. He's wow.
It's called Joe Rogan.
Dude, that's the Joe Rogan show. The difference is the guests are carefully curated amongst a list of MMA fighters and Jews. I mean, that was Leather Apron Club has already closed the book on this one. Joe Rogan's guests are MMA fighters and
Jews,
and then the occasional butt goy like Jordan Peterson, and that's it. And yeah, I mean, seriously, Joe, why don't you just have David Duke on your show? Why not? You're an edgy show. Why don't you have him on? Why don't you have me on your show? Why not?
It's not that dumb.
Well, he's not. He's not making the decision. Like,
he knows what's going to happen. If he does that.
Right.
Regarding pierogies and prep, someone asked in the comments, "Is Pittsburgh the Midwest?" I responded that yes, it's very mid, and it's west of the part of the country that matters. So,
yeah,
it's a good joke. I thought it was a good joke.
So, basically, really my view on this decision is... Oh, sorry, you had more?
No, I had a thing that was probably stupid.
My view on this decision is that if you are white and you are rejected from college, you should sue. And challenge them to prove that they are not going against this decision.
Get a lot of discovery.
Prove that I was not rejected prove that I was rejected for a reason other than my race. Prove it. I bet you can't.
Get all these...
Every white person should sue every college.
Get all the discovery you can on their communications, because as we've seen these text messages, that's how it kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah, but California's been getting away with this for years now.
Of course, yes. And that's kind of the point here, is that if amongst the Supreme Court has handed this decision down, but again, these kinds of things only happen when the will to enforce them is something that is embraced by the system itself with very few dissenters. And that's not the case. This decision by the Supreme Court is dissented to by the entire class of college administrators, and will probably be dissented to by lower courts should these things come before. And there will be, of course, lawsuits that come before lower courts based on this. And I think the lower courts will, for reasons other than those laid out in this decision, generally find against a white plaintiff in these type of things. We'll see how it goes. I think that the system should be inundated with such lawsuits anyway, and that these colleges and schools should be forced to have a massive legal budget to deal with these lawsuits, even if they win them. And eventually, probably what will happen is lower courts will simply start dismissing such lawsuits as frivolous and not even hear them, which is basically one way that they can massively control
massively control this whole thing. And of course, then the answer is, well, you have to just appeal such dismissals, and you have to make this should be a massive effort. I mean, this is what I would like to happen. And this is the kind of thing we would do if we had the resources of some of these big time NGOs and millions and billions of dollars. And we could field lawyers, is we would absolutely go on just like a long extended legal campaign based on this and just see where it went. But there's so many other things that we have to deal with as well, and we have very limited resources. But this is what this is a strategy I would suggest, is simply like just open lawfare against all these institutions, and now you have a weapon that you can wield somewhat in that fight. But the thing is, there's a lot of other things you can use. Like, for example, on Twitter, people who work in college admissions were admitting that they planned to simply disregard this after the decision was handed down. They basically said, they basically brazenly bragged that they plan on objectively breaking the law. And so people should take note of that. These things should be archived and saved. And the places that these people work, if somebody is dismissed from one of these colleges, they should absolutely make a case of it and say, look, I have like proof of that as a racial malice against me. It was and like, I don't even want to hear this bullshit that like a white person can't be racist against another white person. Fuck you. Fuck you, because we see it all the time. So
I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know where you're getting this from. I'm seeing on Twitter, like, we're just celebrating. God bless the Supreme Court doing God's work.
Well, you have to look at the non-conservative side of it.
Ah, what do they know? Those libtards. Listen to this.
Well, those are the people that actually work in college.
The Supreme Court overturned Roe. The Supreme Court overturned affirmative action. The Supreme Court just threw Biden's student loan repayment scam out the window. And just now,
they would do that.
And just now, the Supreme Court says the First Amendment entitles a web designer to refuse to do gay weddings. We got to power through here. First off, let me thank Donald Trump for putting three common sense conservatives on the court, because these are issues that go to the very heart of who we are as a people and as a nation. We are a nation of sanity, justice, of laws, free speech, and we stand against racism of any color. SCOTUS has proven this week that they are still a fair and unbiased institution, free from Democrat manipulation and interference. So again, thank you, Donald Trump, for giving the right a true voice in today's politics, 3 years after Democrats stole it from us.
Okay. Okay, so now I'm ready to go back to Disney log content.
No, that's why I want to hang myself.
Hold on. Here's my thing with this. We can laugh at that. The problem is that is going to be something that a lot of people will believe and take seriously.
That's what I'm
saying. We actually have to come up with a valid way of criticizing that. And I think that we can. So, but people, we can't just say that's dumb, because that is going to be convincing to a lot of people. So I think it actually is incumbent upon us to explain why that is a mistaken view. And ultimately,
sorry.
Now, first of all, the decision on forgiving student loan debt is objectively a bad one. Why should people have to pay student loans? I would forgive all student loans. And I don't care if somebody is like a latecomer and had to pay their debts and then thinks someone else should also have to pay their debts based. And that's...
Oh, hi, guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption. Not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders. You can use crypto. You can use e-checks. You can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
Forget it. Throw that out the window. It doesn't matter. All student loan debt should be – all debt should be forgiven. Everybody that owes money on anything, your credit card, your car, your house, all of it should be forgiven, and you should just be able to keep all the shit that you bought on credit and on debt. And when that should – and I don't care. That would crash out the Jew banking economy, and that's exactly what I want to do. So, no, I objectively just – the student loan debt was a bad decision by the Supreme Court that was very predictable based on their priors. I read this article this morning saying that these two decisions were up for being decided today because it's the last day for
conservatives
to be
like
down.
Conservatives be like, break down racial barriers so I can get back into college and have to pay fucking loans for the rest of my life.
Well,
let me have student loans, Democrats, demon rats. Give me the right to my student loans. So, I want to pay them forever. I want to be forever saddled by student loans and never be able to afford a home. I want my children's future to be as bleak as possible, but I want them to not be discriminated against for a race to get into college.
Now, I need to look closer at the 303 Media versus whoever case, which is the... I'll tell you about this.
Oh, the gay marriage website? Yeah.
The two cases were that... The two cases for today were that one. And there was another case yesterday that there that conservatives are celebrating, but that one is like kind of like a no-brainer, and I'm surprised that even went to the Supreme Court. That seems like a deliberate, some kind of deliberate attempt to make conservatives feel like they matter, which is what I think a lot of this stuff is. Now, the 303 web design case was a lawsuit because a web designer said she should not have to make gay marriage websites. Because that was her job, was designing websites, and she said that she has a right to refuse to do homosexual wedding websites.
And this had to go all the way. And this had to go all the way to Supreme Court to get the right. Like,
well, here's the thing: they already decided this in 2018 with the cake baker guy, right? It's the same. It's the same case again. The issue is that in 2018, what they did was they said this we're ruling this way in this case, but we're not setting a precedent.
Oh, right.
And so of course, because of that, like all this time and effort had to be wasted because it's the same arguments. And basically, I think if I have to read it, I haven't had a chance to read it because we've been recording, whether or not they've decided that this time they have set a precedent, which is that. But then here's the problem. There's a fundamental problem with all of these. Is like, what if I want to discriminate against gay people without being a Christian? I just don't like
them. Yeah, I just don't like them. What if I don't want to make a website for an interracial marriage? How about that?
My discrimination.
I don't want to make a website for interracial marriages or Jewish marriages. What if I just don't want to make websites for people that I don't like?
Right.
Like you're going to compel me in court to build you a website. Go to somebody who likes you. Go to somebody who doesn't think you're like a filthy degenerate to have your website.
I don't want to be forced by the government to be a client to take on clients that I object to morally. And racially or whatever that I just don't want to do. Right. And that this is a libertarian premise that I actually agree with. Like, I don't think people should be forced to work for something that they think is disgusting. And my objection to homosexuals is not faith based. It's science based. I could actually show you all kinds of data that shows that homosexuality is an illness that leads to negative outcomes for everybody involved. And so I don't want to perpetuate that with my work based on science. Now, it's not religious, it's scientific. And I think we need more science-based critiques of homosexuality and less religious ones. Because frankly, I'll be honest with you, and this is something many people aren't going to want to hear, people don't really take religious criticisms of things very seriously, at least not in America.
No one takes religious seriously.
They might in other countries, but they don't in America. And the people that take it seriously less than almost anybody, frankly, are like the white working class who are – probably the most one of the most a-religious groups in the country. Increasingly, religion itself is a luxury belief, just so people – I mean, people aren't going to want to hear that. Maybe they will. I think
religion
our audience,
doesn't exist in this fucking country.
Well, it's a luxury – what it is performative –
don't tell me that you're religious.
Religion is another performative luxury belief, just like libtardism. And a lot of the times, the two go hand in hand with each other. And frankly, so-called Christian extremism or like right-wing Christianity, Christian national, these are luxury beliefs as well. So that's a fact. There's data that proves this. That's not where I intended to go with today's show, but there's ample data that shows that basically, actually, white people who work paycheck to paycheck are and whose lives depend on the next paycheck. Their livelihoods, their ability to eat and live in a home and have a car are all dependent on the fact that they will receive another check next month.
Yep.
And they will be ruined if they don't get that check. Mm-hmm. That is how I define, and frankly, you call me a Marxist if you want, that's how Marx defined. And that's a very traditional definition of the working class. And white people in that situation don't fucking go to church.
What's the non-Marxist version of working class?
People that work in factories? I don't know. I don't know.
I just didn't know there
blue
was like
collar,
I didn't know there
sort
was
like, of
really
like industrial extraction, I mean, industry factory worker.
If you talk to an online like mentally ill conservative, like just working class is whatever imaginary legendary creature that they like to pretend that they themselves are.
Right.
To, for like
right.
clout.
So
like
somebody who works on an oil rig, a welder, we think one of the construction worker.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Sort of like whether in manufacturing or trucking or extraction industry, like mining, you know, stuff like that, right?
Things that frankly, account for less than 10% of the economy.
Frankly, some schlub like answering emails is also working class.
Like somebody with a really good job is a working class person to them, I guess. Like that, those are all like really good jobs. Like what about, well, I mean, I'm thinking more of like the lady at the counter at like the dollar store who should be stealing.
That's a working class person. Now, somebody
but you got to understand that in the sort of like this conservative right wing rural hierarchy, those people are lower social status. So we just ignore them.
Okay. Well, that here's something that's interesting.
They do a classism themselves. So.
Yes, that's the point, is that the actual people who are downtrodden and are lower status, lower class, viewed as such by society at large, conservatives themselves exhibit these prejudices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes...
If you don't have the $90,000 pickup truck because you're a welder and you make plenty of money.
A truck hold.
A truckhold,
yeah. Right? And I would
you're
say
low
this.
Status.
You have to become a truckhold.
Not so much that you have plenty of money, but you had a good enough credit rating to get that $90,000 loan, and that's going to hang over your head for like 20 years and for that fucking truck. But that's another issue. But this is a prejudice that is held generally in society, and it crosses political lines. Is that white people who are in a very precarious economic situation. Like the point was made when conservatives on Twitter were making fun of a woman a few weeks ago because a video surfaced of a woman who had four white children, lived in a trailer, and was feeding them hot dogs and rice because she's poor. And that's what she can afford to feed her children. And sure, it's not a good meal. It's not very healthy. It's not great. But it's calories that she can put in her kids' bellies, and making fun of her is, frankly, a very classist attitude, and it was conservatives that kicked it off.
Mm-hmm.
And what would help this woman feed her children better is the kind of shit that conservatives tirelessly work to destroy in red states, and I assume she lives in a red state. So...
No, she had a $90,000 pickup truck. She was feeding her kids Doritos and stuff, but they were at the football game. A different story. That's fine. That's fine because she's of higher social status now.
Right.
But yeah, they definitely have their own form of classism. Like they have their own form of retard elitism.
Yeah, and it's because, frankly, conservatives that go to church are bourgeois.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that means you got the time and the capital to right. be able to afford to
I
do that.
Liberals go to church. Like bourgeois liberals
mostly,
like, go to
most
church.
Most people who go to church are libtards, but yeah. There is a small minority of conservatives that go to church, and they're generally bougie conservatives that carry. Basically, they're also libtards, because if you ask them about race and gay stuff, they would have basically the same views as liberals.
Yeah.
They would be – the difference is – the difference is that they would celebrate the decision on student loan forgiveness rather right. than be angry about it. That's basically the difference, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. I was just looking at some of these articles here, and it's like NPR is running a piece where they talk about how California basically circumvented the ban on affirmative action. And it's interesting that they note that this, to sort of...
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
To work around affirmative action, these schools have had to spend like $500 million.
Yeah. Yeah. So this
just to get more niggers.
So one thing that happened in the affirmative action decision is that Justice Roberts said that they left white papers had some. Let me find what white papers were saying. He had some quotes, which are very interesting. So.
All right. That's
funny. So when I read about this stuff, it reminds me of like reading a history of some primitive nation that had retarded ass backwards beliefs that ultimately helped destroy it.
All right, this meme.
Well, that's what's going on. I mean,
this meme is actually kind of funny. It says, awkward, Supreme Court rules against affirmative action with affirmative action to hire sitting right there.
Right. And
that's actually pretty good. I mean,
what's funny is in pre-show banter, I also said that Ketanji Brown had to recuse herself not because,
yeah, right.
Objectively, like the reason she had to recuse herself is because she is an affirmative. It's like the thing is, on the surface, the reasoning for her recusing herself was because she went to Harvard and she was on some Harvard board. I'm like, right, but that's because of affirmative action.
Right.
Like, she should actually recuse. Like, I'm sorry, I've actually benefited from affirmative action, so I can't possibly be objective on it. Because the only reason I'm sitting here is because of affirmative action. And frankly, the same goes for Sonia Sotomayor. She's also, I mean, and the thing is, you know, one of the things that conservatives have used against affirmative action is that because of affirmative action, whenever people see a black or brown person in a high status position, they assume that they're there because of affirmative action. And so they'll never be judged on their own merits. And my answer to conservatives is like, yeah, and see, the thing is, the people that assume that are correct. And oftentimes the people that assume that are liberals, and they're right. Everyone's right.
The people the people who judge black people on their merits are the people who cross the street when they see them coming.
They're conservatives.
Yeah.
Well, everyone judges black people in their personal life. Everyone judges black people on their merits, which is why they don't, including black people,
Scott Adams,
and including Mexicans, and including everyone.
Everybody knows.
So here we go. Let me read some stuff. These are some quotes that White Paper's mined from the decision. He says, respondents' race-based admissions systems also fail to comply with Equal Protection Clause's twin commands that race may not be used as a negative and it may not operate as a stereotype. And that's true. That's objectively correct, because basically being white is objectively a negative. Now, there's a logical problem here, because you can't use race as a positive without also using it as a negative. Show me how you can do that. Right? Because if being black is a positive, then being white objectively just has to be a negative when you are dealing in a zero-sum game, which any college year admissions class only has so many seats. So it is a zero-sum game. All of this shit where people say that white people that are upset about losing status in America because of the rising status of people of color and saying they need to stop viewing it as a zero-sum game – all that they do is they use prejudicial language for the idea of viewing society like that to give you the idea that that's a dumb thing to think, but they never explain why it's a dumb thing to think. And when you narrow it down to a particular field or a particular milieu, like a college admissions class year at a major university, that's a zero-sum game. There are only so many seats. There's only so many students they can take on. And if they are objectively saying being black gives you an upper hand, then being white gives you a lower hand. Objectively, there's no way out of it.
Yep.
You cannot say this is wrong. So that's the thing. And then it says this. They actually chided. They were very hostile. The Supreme Court, the conservative majority was very hostile to the kinds of arguments Harvard was making. And the fact is, the reason is because they were making retarded arguments. They couldn't actually they could not actually defend what they were doing without essentially descending into like obscurantist language, which is what they're doing, what's happening, right? Says respondents have failed to present an exceedingly persuasive justification for separating students on the basis of race that is measurable and concrete enough to permit judicial review. I'm not sure what that means by judicial review there, because it seems to me that it's under judicial review. Maybe there's a definition of that I don't understand. So at the same time, here's where some loopholes are starting to come in. At the same time, nothing prohibits universities from considering an applicant's discussion of how race affected the applicant's life, so long as that discussion is concretely tied to a quality of character or unique ability that the particular applicant can contribute to the university. You know, I hate this idea, and I've always hated it since I was an applicant to a university, that like the student by their unique individualness brings something to the college. It's like, no. I don't think that I hate that institutions are thought of that way. No. The college has certain standards for people who achieve a certain metric of success academically, those people qualify. People that don't qualify, and the student goes to get something from the university, not to give something to it.
Right.
Then what they get is an education and a certification, and they move on to a career. And the career doesn't have to just be like a technical career. The career could itself be teaching other people, like, you know, but the point is, like, you this idea of like, oh, I'm like enriching the student. That's all language. Nobody ever thought of education like that until niggers, until they needed an excuse to put niggers into college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now all that language is there to cover for the fact that they want to put niggers in college because Jews want a reason to reduce the field of white people in higher status roles and positions within society. So they have basically replaced white people with niggers who can't compete with them, and they know it. And Jews then take up the seats assigned to whites. That's how this works. That's the purpose of it. And apparently that's why Jews are big mad about this. And liberal Jews, at least, although the case itself was brought by a Jew. And America is so fucking anti-white that the case was not even brought on behalf of whites. It was brought on behalf of Asians, who are net beneficiaries of affirmative action.
Yep.
And that means net beneficiaries of anti-whiteness. So here we go.
Oh, man.
What's so funny is how many of these clauses start with at the same time. Right, they're just qualifying the shit out of everything.
I just had a pun to Rats. It's like Benjamin net beneficiaries. I don't know why. I'm sorry.
So, like, here's another paragraph that White Papers picked out. And what's so funny, all these begin with the clause, with the phrase at the same time, which means you're making qualifications when you say that. You're basically being very equivocal when you say at the same time, at the same time. That's meaning I want to have, like, things all five ways, right? So here we go. At the same time, as all parties agree, this is actually pretty harsh language against the schools, and I think this was Roberts saying this. As all parties agree, nothing in this opinion should be construed as prohibiting universities from considering an applicant's discussion of how race affected his or her life, be it through discrimination, inspiration, or otherwise. However, universities may not simply establish through application essays or other means the regime we hold unlawful today. Meaning they're saying, like, people, in theory, because everyone was saying, well, they'll stop using credentials and start using applications. And what's said on essay applications to choose to discern race, and Roberts is kind of saying, don't do that. Don't essentially let kids indicate their race through their application essay, and then you can say, well, it's not the race, it's that I really like the essay.
Right? What if you write one of these essays and you sort of intimate essay that you're black, but you're actually white? And then they refuse it after they find out. Like, then are you able to sue them?
Well, I think white students should just say they're black.
Yeah, just say you're fucking black.
Say you're black. or apply to different colleges with the same creds and different racial identification. Now, some white people, like myself, have names that, like, black people don't have. Like, nobody would believe someone with my last name was a nigger. However, you guys have names that niggers sort of could have because your names are less ethnic in America.
Donovan McNabb, Alex McNabb.
Now, Jesse, are niggers really named Jesse?
Shit, man, I should have given my kids nigger names. It should have been like Tyrone McNabb.
Yep. Montavious McNabb.
That's also a Celtic name, too, so you get best of both worlds there. Because Tyrone is a Celtic name as well. Which niggers stole. That's cultural appropriation.
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. This is I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription, and then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm filling it or something.
Nick is actually fucking steal from Celts all the time.
Just imagine the crestfallen faces on college administrators and managers, and if my kid walks in there and they're like, oh, finally, we finally got that.
Tyrone McNabb, and it's like some sweet, like some white like, blonde head.
God damn it. Fucking got us.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So basically the problem here is, I would say, with this affirmative action decision, and I think that the error that the conservative people super celebrating it are making is that the will to enforce this decision has to be there at an institutional level as well, and I don't think that it is. In fact, I see the institutional will being to thwart this decision. And there are people openly proclaiming it, and the Jewish liberal Jewish media, like the New York Times, is basically saying that what they're saying is that this is going to make college admissions even more labyrinthine. So let me see. So now I'm trying to find that article, which I read literally as well. Okay, here we go. With Supreme Court decision, college admissions could become even more subjective. Colleges have a game plan, like emphasizing the personal essay. But so do conservative groups that promise to monitor and, if necessary, go back to court. We'll see. We shall see. In the Supreme Court decision striking down racial and ethnic preferences in college. Now, listen to some. This is funny. The assumptions made here. The problem is that conservatives take the plain admission of racial assumptions and attack liberals for being racist rather than simply say, obviously, race is a reality. It is biologically based. This is scientific. And these racial prejudices and racial preferences are anti-science. Conservatives should take up the anti-science attack against their enemies, because liberals are anti-science when it comes to this. Right?
Yeah.
But instead, the attack on science is coming from the conservative side of things. Like, they hate science. The fact is, your best friend in this case is science. Liberals are fucking religious zealots with no science on this. And to attack them on that basis puts them at a severe fucking disadvantage in the discussion. They can't deal with it. So, Chief Justice John G. Roberts had harsh words for Harvard and the University of North Carolina, calling their admissions process elusive, opaque, and imponderable. Well, here's the thing. It is elusive and opaque, but it's totally ponderable. It's totally ponderable. I ponder it. And I actually don't ponder it because it's obvious. I don't need to ponder. The pondering is kind of a waste of time because it's obvious. It's obvious that they're just – all of it's a post hoc rationalization for racial preference, for just kicking white kids out and bringing niggers in. I mean, it's – no one – everyone understands this. But the court's ruling against the two universities on Thursday could lead to an admission systems that is even more subjective and mysterious as colleges try to follow the law – but also admit a diverse class of students.
But also not.
So, well, but that's not even the funniest thing about this sentence. The funniest thing is just the blatant admission that there's no way to admit a diverse class of students without simply instituting racial quotas.
Yeah, no, that was the gist of the NPR piece that I was reading, is there was just no other way to do it.
Right, and they're well aware of this. And the problem is, their reasoning behind this is easy to attack, and conservatives don't do it. Conservatives do not do it. They call them racist, and they say that, like, But the problem is no, because it's very easy to attack the idea that black and non-Asian minority failure is because of some kind of structural racist thing, some kind of...
Well, so what they claim, and this is a really fucking weird thing to be saying, considering who's saying it, Michelle Chang, who's an Associate Vice Chancellor of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion at UCLA, says that most do not want to attend a university where there's not a critical mass of same-race peers. So the idea is, like, if there's not enough racial representation, then you don't want to go to the school. But it didn't stop Asians. It doesn't stop them from attending whites, schools that are predominantly white, and then gradually changing the student body over time.
Right. But additionally, and it won't stop whites from wanting to go to school with Asians.
Yeah.
The other thing is, now they say that about blacks, but that's because they always use any excuse for black failure will be enthusiastically embraced, like imposter syndrome or something like that. Like a nigger who's the only nigger in class will like be suffering from imposter syndrome and therefore they can't succeed or some bullshit. It's just bullshit.
I mean, this feels like something that's not been really scientifically evaluated at all. Like the idea of representation in general. Like, oh, I don't want to do it then because there's no the people doing the thing are not the same race as me.
Now, I wouldn't be surprised if that exists to some extent. Like people that go that live for a long time in a country that is racially different than them, some probably do get depressed and feel weird, right? I think there's probably something to that, but that's only ever trotted out for blacks. Like white people can never get the benefit of that kind of analysis. Like, right. Can a white person ever say, look, I don't feel comfortable here because everyone here is racially different than myself?
Well, no, because why do you feel like you're entitled to being like comfortable? Like you're the big, right. You're
that's,
the reason
that's
everybody,
exactly
you're the reason saying. Everybody else is uncomfortable. Like everybody knows this stuff. It's right. Annoying. What's annoying is like all these problems, all these problems you talk about are so obvious.
Yeah.
But the solutions to them all like lie beyond like a deep defensive line of just emotional terrorism and bullshit.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's behind a gay wall. And there's no price to get beyond the gay wall to get the solutions. And so everybody just kind of spins their wheels. And I mean, it's right. Like people are just pretending this isn't a problem. Like people are pretending they won.
Basically, the conservatives are like the Ukrainians, like desperately trying to find a hole in this defense line and not being able to find it. But they're not even.
But they tell everybody, but then they're also just like the Ukrainians because like tell everybody that they're winning. Like the left is on its last legs. It's about to fall apart.
I take that back somewhat because I believe the Ukrainians actually do want to win. Ukrainians actually do want to penetrate those defense lines and reach the sea, but I'm not sure that they can. I don't think conservatives are actually – they're literally like, I just want to be fiddling around along the forward line of defense, the crumple zone.
Yeah.
As they're calling it, the gray zone. I just am happy to exchange minor settlements in the crumple zone rather than actually penetrating the defense. Like, you know, but yeah. The crumples. Yeah, so basically conservatives are fiddling around the edges of the crumple zone and they're not going for the deep – they're not doing deep battle behind the lines. But because they won't attack the actual powerful interests and they will take up their – I mean all of the things – there's been some lawsuits coming up of people complaining that they're being discriminated against because they're white. These are actually increasing and this is good. But Jews have already – this is something we've been talking about for a while. Jews have already carved out a couple of institutions dedicated to doing this, one of which, you know, of course, has a totally diverse board, which actually I would argue that if you looked at the board of this group, they're sponsoring a recent lawsuit. It's like Fair something, not okay, so this is something called Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism has sponsored some of these recent lawsuits. If you go, it's fairforall.org. And if you go there and you look at who we are and the board of directors, it's like a fucking United Nations. And there's like lots of Jews here. And one of the people is James Kirchick, who's like a faggot Jew who looks like he's got cotton balls in his mouth. And so like a lot of these, there's some white people here that probably aren't Jewish, but this is and see their calling card will be we are more diverse than liberals, and they will deliberately construct a board that is more diverse than liberals in order to own them. And again, like I was saying in my speech, that anti-woke has now become anti-white. From the conservative things, just a couple of days ago, we on the 27th, conservatives sponsored some protest against some gay event, and they had cobbled together this multiracial coalition, and then and Batya Ungar Sargon, the Jewess, was talking about this on her Twitter, and she was saying, like, oh, look at the multiracial coalition on our side of things, and all of these people are now suffering racism when they challenge the woke white liberals on LGBT. So the conservative argument about LGBT has now become that it's a white thing and it is oppressing conservative brown people. I mean, we've been talking about this forever.
Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
And even when conservatives, when a conservative Jew takes up the cause of anti-affirmative action, it's not on behalf of whites. White people still are not allowed to be the subject of a positive advocacy campaign,
right,
in this country. And that's one of my main fucking critiques of all of this shit, and why I am not until and the reason is the problem is when you accept that, when you accept that moral paradigm, you cannot do anything but lose, because what happens is you look like you're operating in bad faith. The liberal view on these lawsuits that they're done on behalf of Asians is this is dishonest. Mm-hmm. This is actually a white supremacist thing trying to undermine our institutional attack on white supremacy, because that's what they see themselves as engaged in, an institutional attack on the whole concept of white supremacy, tearing down the superstructure of white supremacy that has kept these niggers down. For that's their ideological justification for what they're doing. And they see trying to use Asians as a dishonest way of preserving white supremacy, and it gives them moral courage in totally flouting these things. But what I'm saying is, no, white people should be advocated for, straight up, like, no, that you are attacking whites, and you need to stop because it's wrong. And the argument on those grounds, they can't actually win it.
Yeah.
And that's why conservatives will never do that. So, I don't know. There's much more to talk about on this. If we want to take a break.
Yeah, we got
to
take a break. I think
it's break time.
Supposed to get a Merchant Minute today, but the trend has been, like, since we've been starting early, we've been receiving the thing late. So I guess it won't be at the break. Hopefully it'll show up while we're doing the second hour, and we'll probably play it towards the end again. I guess that's just the new normal.
So Murat Kramer is late with his...
Sell. Gas.
His literal stock merchant, the stock merchant minute.
Yeah, we're going to get through the Wall Street Report.
The stonk minute. Stonk merchant minute.
The stonk minute. We'll get the stonk minute later in the second hour.
The stonk minute. That's where stock.
Oh, yeah. I had bants about that. I forgot to do it. About the stonk.
Oh, well, let's... Maybe we don't.
Well, now it's going to be on the paywalled version.
Oh, no.
Damn it. I wanted everyone to be able to hear it.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Well, I'm looking at an article about Supreme Court striking down the plan to forgo student loans, which means I'm going to look at the comments and we'll see what the boomers are saying about it.
Oh, they're loving it. They're loving it.
And I'm going to be ready to kill myself.
Hear,
we got it.
I guess confirmed for not listening to Jesse. He read that comment before where that the boomers are celebrating every single one of these decisions. And I was saying that.
No, I remember him reading that. I haven't read their comments.
Oh, yes. Go see for yourself. Go stare into the abyss on your own.
All of this garbage. Like. Kordahl's told the Supreme Court for recognizing that taxpayers are not responsible for debt.
You are not allowed to derail the break into doing more content, McNabb.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go.
That is really
we'll come back
against
with that.
The rules.
We'll do that when we come back.
We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Daily Sewer.